The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast. .com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing, signage, and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with my boss, Mr. Scott Reynolds.
Hello.
Mr. Taylor Jenkins.
Glad to be back.
And producer extraordinaire, Mr. Matthew Matera.
Howdy, everyone.
Howdy.
Yeah.
Trying to use Southern terms?
Just trying to change it up.
He's been watching old Town Road videos. Right.
Listen to a couple songs here and there.
There you go. The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. Westshore Financial takes the time to develop a relationship with their clients and understand what's important to them. Then and only then can Westshore Financial help clarify the financial world and engineer a balance sheet strong enough to potentially withstand a worst-case scenario, protecting families against catastrophes, and then focusing resources to achieve the best version of their clients' lives. Whether it's health insurance, retirement strategies, or investments, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for your future and protect your family's finances today. Chris is a Tampa native. I've known him for decades, dating back to his days covering the Bucks as a sports anchor in the Tampa Bay area. I've been a proud Westshore Financial client with Chris before he became a presenting sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Chris is so caring and knowledgeable, taking the time to get to know my current financial situation and then understand what my goals are and my dreams. I wouldn't trust my retirement planning and my family's financial future with anyone other than Chris at Westshore Financial. Give him a call today. Send him an email to set up an appointment about the ways that he can help protect you and your family today. Call 813-434-0037 for a free, no obligation, preliminary conversation with Westshore Financial.
You know what, Scott? I'm going to call Chris. I know I've said it every week for the last few weeks. I've got different schemes for my family's financial future, and I've determined that getting that spot on Wheel of Fortune has not panned out yet, so I should probably call Chris at this point.
Yeah, and I would not recommend Jeopardy either for you.
I could beat that dude.
No, you could not.
Beat him every night. Haven't lost yet.
What's he up to now?
Over a million.
Seems like it.
Yeah. Yeah, with no end in sight. He's a pretty smart dude. Almost as smart as myself.
Hey, what are the Bucks up to this week?
Nothing. I just said nothing. Where am I from? Plant City? Nothing. Yes. They are up to nothing. They are they're up to minicamp, and then there's something going on this weekend. I can't remember exactly what it is.
Oh, it's the NFL draft.
Crap, is
it's
it
a three-day event,
week?
Just yes. Like Coachella.
There you go.
It's the Coachella of football, pretty much.
Mr. Irrelevant strikes again.
Yeah, if you haven't heard or been on PewterReport.com, shame on you.
Or if you've been under a rock.
Yes, we're having this thing called a live draft video cast right here from One Buck in Your Place. Brought to you by Edmondson Electric and Security. And we're going to be having the four of us, plus some special guests, probably on day three, talking about the draft picks as they come down, who we think they're going to draft with the next selection, and also what those rascals in the NFC South are doing, the Bucks' enemies. So it should be fun. We've got a lot of time to fill, so please log on.
A lot of time to fill.
It's going to be easy for you to watch. All you have to do is log in on PewterReport.com.
Yep.
And here's the cool thing. We can take your questions. If you log in on a laptop or a home PC, it's not going to be available on your phone because of the restrictions. You can still watch the video cast, but what we're talking about is taking questions. So we're going to have a rolling chat commentary thing going on.
They can also mail them in. P.O. Box. What's our P.O. Box?
I think the time for that has come and gone.
Yeah, they're probably too late. Never
for
mind.
The U.S. mail to hit that. So,
what are the Bucks going to do in the second round? We get the letter next Wednesday.
Yeah.
It'll come by pigeon. It'll just fly right into one Buck place tied to its ankle.
Yeah, or we could go with like a Raven approach, you know, like Game of Thrones.
That'd
a
be
Raven.
Perfect.
Those Ravens must fly like faster than dragons,
People
right?
People were complaining about that one episode. It's like, oh, how'd they find out at Winterfell so quickly that there's dragons on, you know, at the ice wall right
now? What the hell are y'all two talking about? There's another one of these comic book movies.
You don't watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Oh, see.
Oh, my gosh.
I
can't afford HBO.
I wouldn't even mind this turning into a full-time Game of Thrones like podcast. It's good. It's in the final season. You've got to watch it. I just use someone else's
HBO
login.
They're saying the most epic battle scene is coming up this Sunday. Like, the entire show is going to be nothing but the White Walkers versus the humans. And it's
I heard
gonna
they
be
spent
mass
like
carnage.
55 consecutive days filming this battle scene. It's going to be like the longest battle scene.
I'll be honest. There was about 3 years ago, I tuned in one Sunday night. I think it comes on Sunday, doesn't it?
Yes.
And,
yep.
9 o'clock.
Literally, a man was having his nipple cut off. And I was like, I'm good. I never need to watch this show again. Does anybody remember that episode?
Yeah, I think that's when Theon was getting tortured.
Greyjoy, now known as Reek. But I think he's back to Theon Greyjoy?
I think he's back to Theon, yeah.
Every character just has their arcs are insane.
I know. The reason we're talking about this is because we had a mini camp this week that Game of Thrones was much more entertaining to watch than the mini camp.
I'll be honest with you. I probably would have rather watched Game of Thrones and know nothing about it than this mini camp.
Yes.
Not overly exciting.
All right, let's talk about it, right? Because now
we'll get to plenty of draft talk, but let's talk about the most pressing thing.
Okay, so here's a couple of observations. Aside from the fact that the only thing that was even riveting was 11-on-11, which is basically just flag football because it's simply just a passing camp.
Right.
Yeah.
We saw Vita Vea look like he dropped some weight, right?
He said it himself when he spoke to the media.
There's a couple no-shows. Donovan Smith was sick.
Jason Pierre-Paul wasn't there.
Right.
George Jones wasn't here.
George Jones.
Hmm. He was known as No-Show Jones because he would get drunk at his concerts.
Okay.
You guys need to listen to more old-school country music. Go ahead.
So.
Taylor knew what I was talking about.
I don't know about that.
I mean, I know who George Jones is. My mom would probably
was. He's no longer with us.
That shows how much I know.
There you go. Just told on yourself. He's dead. And
fun
didn't
fact,
know that.
George Jones was actually pulled over by the cops driving his John Deere lawnmower to the liquor store after Tammy Wynette hit his keys when he was drunk one night. It happened in Lakeland, Florida. He was living in Lakeland. It's a true story.
That's a fun fact right there that you're not going to find anywhere else.
Honestly,
but the Peter Nation podcast.
A lawnmower than a car. I respect him for that.
I mean, it depends on if he had the blades on or not. You don't want
That's
a drunk man
true.
With the blades turning. Our numbers are just dropping drastically.
Yeah,
back to the mini camp.
Football.
Because it was riveting.
Yeah. Jameis Winston did look good.
According to Bruce Arians, they should already put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Bruce is pretty excited about Jameis.
Bruce said yesterday, he didn't say dead gum. I guess that's Bobby Bowden. But Bruce Arians said yesterday that.
He's a son of a bitch.
No. That's Jackie Gleason. All right, so what he said was that, Jeeves talked about Jameis. You know, he says, man, he was on his fifth read before he even knew it. And, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. How do you get to your fifth read in, like, 2 seconds? I'm not sure. Bruce may be embellishing just a little bit.
But he's definitely,
you can see he's excited about having Jameis Winston on this football team and what he can do with him. And, look, if you've watched Jameis Winston and followed him on social media, he's worked hard every offseason, but this year I think it's been even different. I mean, he's been very intense and very focused. And look, this is a huge, crucial year for him, and I'm not saying anything that anybody doesn't already know, but there's a lot of money riding on this year for Jameis Winston, and obviously a lot riding on this franchise on what he does. Scheduled to make $20.9 million this upcoming season with the fifth-year option being picked up. But with Russell Wilson getting $35 million, that really just increases that bar where Jameis Winston could potentially get next year if he has a Pro Bowl-type season and can lead this team to the playoffs.
It's kind of funny because, obviously, Jason Light and Bruce Arians and the Glaziers all want Jameis Winston to really ball out and get this team to the playoffs. If he balls out too much, it's really going to cost him. You know?
Could they go just 8-8 or 9-7? And No, I think, look, they'll willingly pay this guy $28, $30 million, whatever it becomes.
If he becomes the player they drafted him to be this year, then you're just going to have to bite the bullet and do it and be glad that you don't have to draft a quarterback in 2020.
It's a good thing they still have $50 million in cap space right now.
Well, they do. Well, they will when they cut Gerald McCoy.
And most of their players locked down long term.
And again, this song and dance, we heard it yesterday, the whole Gerald McCoy saga. And then on Wednesday, we're taping this podcast, Mark Dominic comes out this morning and says he thinks Gerald McCoy is on this team this year. How hard would it be, Scott, and you know more about the salary cap situation, and you're in contact with your sources a lot more than I am, but making room to right now just to be able to sign draft picks, which you're going to need, what, $6 million roughly to do
six
that?
Six to seven, yeah.
Six to seven right there. Plus, each team likes to have a surplus of about $4 million or so.
Yeah, you got to have that cushion in case, not in case, but if and when those players that you have positioned as starters all of a sudden end up on injured reserve. We saw that with Vernon Hargreaves last year going in injured reserve in week two.
And this team still wants to bring in some veteran guys. They're waiting on some casualty cuts. I mean, Gerald McCoy's not the only guy floating around out there that's in limbo because of a salary.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some players that could have started for this team last year that'll end up being on this roster probably this year, particularly in the secondary. I think they still have to bring in a veteran cornerback at some point.
Yeah, they said Bruce Arians right now said that MJ Stewart is their top nickel cornerback, but I find that hard to believe by the time the regular season rolls around for sure.
The other thing too, and we kind of talked about this at practice today, Justin Evans, he had a toe injury, and I'm telling you, turf toe has cost NFL players their careers. Who was the offensive lineman that had turf toe? Was it
Carl Nix?
No, that was MRSA toe.
Oh yeah, he had it removed.
Talking turf toe, yeah. was it Larry Zonka? He was a running back, but I think he was a turf toe.
Look,
victim.
Deion, this I is think, a true
was,
story.
Was Alex Karras the Lions?
Maybe, but Deion Sanders Deion to Sanders, this day. Yeah. Because he had so many cases of it or severe cases of it. When I saw him a few years ago at a, I think it was the Dolphins game, Shiano's first year, second year, Mike James had that big first half. But anyway, after the game, they're in the fourth quarter, we're down on the field waiting on the game to end, and Deion doesn't have any shoes on, and somebody asked him about it, and he says, man, I can't hardly wear shoes because of turf toe injuries that he had in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about that.
I'm not sure if Justin Evans has turf toe. I'm just saying that
he had turf toe.
Well, he might have had a broken toe, and if he broke it, that can be an injury that takes a long time to recover from, especially if you're running and jumping and doing all those
again things. When we stub the coffee table at home and we break our toe, we just put a little tape on it and it's no big deal, but none of us are out there
trying to cover Julio Jones.
Exactly.
Yeah, we spoke about it, Scott, a little bit this morning. You look at it and you go, he missed how many weeks last year? 6, 8 to end the year.
He came back. And he came back for like a game and re-aggravated something
and
like
that.
And
then he misses 4 months into the offseason. Now he's still not out here playing. And you're going, okay, well, if it's lasted, it wasn't an injury that
we expected to be a year. Has anybody asked him if he maybe caught a case of Carl Nix MRSA?
No.
I'm going to ask him next week.
What's keeping him going to 6, 8, 10 months?
I'm going to ask him to take his shoe off. I want to inspect his foot.
Also, he was throwing passes in the safety drill today, which if you're suffering from any injury, should you really be throwing the football out there? Especially
it's turf toe, not turf finger.
Right, but you got to step and throw. You got to step and throw, don't you?
I don't know that he was like trying to use proper form and technique.
Yeah. It's a weird thing if you're throwing the ball 30 yards downfield, though.
Well, these are professional athletes, Matt.
Well, if he was so professional, he'd work to get back on the field.
Matt, you and I.
I think he is.
Matt's taking shots at Justin.
I think he is. I think he's trying to. But here's the thing.
We saw him bowling last year, though. Do you remember that? At one of our bowling league,
I actually said that. I forgot who I said it to, but yeah, I did bring that up.
Maybe that's when he re-aggravated his toe injury.
Well, sometimes those bowling shoes can be a little tight.
Pretty sure he had his own.
Yeah, but it's interesting, though, because they did sign Orion Stewart, otherwise known as Orion Stewart, to Matt. But they
spells it weird.
They signed Orion.
He spells it weird. How else would you spell Orion?
He spells it O.
Please tell me how else
he spells Ryan, R-I-O-N, which is not how you spell Ryan.
But it's not. He's not Irish. He's not. Hello, my name's Orion Stewart. Come on, Matt.
Top of the morning to you, Matt. Matty?
I would say cut his mic, but Matt's in charge of the board, so it's probably not going to happen. But anyway,
no. Listen, I think that, they signed Kentrell Bryce. And they also signed Orion Stewart.
Or Orion.
I was thinking like...
Or Orion.
Yeah. First look at it, Orion.
It is the same spelling as like Orion's belt. I did look that up because I was like, I don't really know how that's spelled, but I know it's the same words. It's like, if Orion's belt is spelled a little different than that, but...
Matt's mad that he doesn't phonetically spell it O-R-Y-A-N. He's going to have a beef with him all year.
I actually know someone that their name is spelled like that.
No, okay. You don't.
Yes, I do.
Is he Irish?
But guess what?
He might be. I don't
his
know.
Name's
probably.
Not Orion Stewart. And he's not a Buccaneer.
Right. So, your buddy back in the Bronx, it doesn't matter that he spells his name that way, Matt.
Man.
Anyways, so...
Matt's going to quit. He's taking this shit and going home. We're never going to see
him
again.
This podcast might not air, so the joke's on you. Joke's on you.
It's a good point because none of us three have any idea how to make
That's
it play.
Right. We just have to do Twitter Live from now. Tune in at 3:45. We're going to do Twitter Live for 30 minutes and plug our sponsors.
I will give you $5 next week to walk up to him and go, hey, Orion, do that. Or Orion.
We need to get that on film, though. We need to have the cameras rolling for that.
Do it.
But again, going back to the safety spot, I think the Buccaneers are either going to address that in free agency again or with a draft pick. Just because...
I mean, the thought was that MJ was going to move to safety, and he still will, but Bruce said it today. You know, we just... We're missing some guys. Yeah. We don't have enough bodies to really run two practices, so MJ is kind of working in that slot. But he said there's a lot of guys that
they're
playing
two positions that shouldn't be, and he's one of them. So.
Yeah.
But, you look at that secondary in terms of the safety position, and if they don't have Justin Evans, who's their most talented guy,
We think he is. Last year we were unable to see him in any film because he was off the screen.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you, Mike Smith. 20 yards. This guy was fourth row selling popcorn in the stands at some points last year.
Yeah, it's like there were times I think that Mike Smith had Justin Evans line up on the goal line once the team crossed the 50. You
know? Jason Light screaming, "We're not in prevent. It's the first quarter."
You're a safety, not safety net.
Yes.
Don't stand on the goal line.
To be fair, the Bucks needed to be in prevent defense by the end of some first quarters
that's true.
Last year.
Yeah, my God.
Carolina speaks to me.
Ugh.
Well, how about Chicago?
Yeah,
Chicago, another one.
They were just under siege.
We're now at multiple first quarters where we could have been running prevent defense in Tampa Bay.
Yep. I'm like, you know what? Just let them score so you can get the ball back and go on offense and see what you could do. I mean, why make them go 14 plays in 8 minutes to score?
If you're going to break records score. On defense, you might as well break records on offense as well.
Yeah.
Well, this new defense, we've seen a lot of blitzing that was talked about at the press conference.
We allegedly have seen a lot of blitzing. Yeah. We're not allowed to say what we've seen.
Well, I just said it, so.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This is getting banned.
Vita Vea was playing multiple positions.
Allegedly.
Which Bruce Arians confirmed, and Vita Vea confirmed at the press conference.
Okay.
So, listen, there are some new rules we have to to go by.
In our practice reports in years past,
it's been a lot more detailed.
Super detailed.
Yeah.
And the Buccaneers came out yesterday. And again, listen, we're not, I mean, that's their prerogative to do it however they want to do it. They asked us, or they didn't ask because they told us what the rules are, what we can report and what we can't. So that's why things tend to be a little vague.
Right.
But if you want to go to Wesley Chapel and look for Scott at Ford's Garage, he'll give you the scoop there if you buy him a beer.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that. But Vita Vea was playing three technique. Was playing nose tackle, was playing the five-tech defensive end spot. So, and that's no surprise because here's the funny thing. I was thinking about this because Jason Light drafts Vernon Hargraves, a press corner, in 2016, and then drafts Noah Spence, who really is physically suited to be a stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker. Then he drafts Vita Vea, who's more of a 3-4 type body, and another press corner in Carlton Davis. And did he have a crystal ball and just saying, I'm going to have to weather the storm through 2 5-11 seasons to get us Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians in 2019 so all these players will actually fit? Because now it's like you look back, and obviously the proof will be in the pudding. We'll have to see if these players can live up to their draft rounds and their abilities. But Vita Vea, Carlton Davis, Vernon Hargraves, Yeah, I think Justin Evans, if he's healthy. Noah Spence, on paper, look a hell of a lot better fitting in this scheme than they did under Mike Smith.
I know there's a constant communication between the scouting department and the coaching staff and the general manager and everybody involved, but it almost seems like they just – did the coaching staff not know exactly what kind of player they needed, or did they have miscommunications on what kind of players they were bringing
in?
I think
it was more stubbornness than anything, yeah. And we've talked to some people upstairs that they just were wringing their hands in frustration last year at – how the players are being used. And the most refreshing thing, and we've said it on this podcast numerous times, Bowles and Arians have both said the same thing, and even Byron Leftwich, you know, they're going to build their offense and defense around what the player's skill set is, what they do best, as opposed to trying to, you know, play a guy that's really kind of out of position in the wrong spot. And that's something Mike Smith was seemed to be so scared to try anything different last year, anything unique or creative.
Hold on
and
now.
We saw that.
We were told that he played 17 different coverages against the Falcons, which is a bunch of bullshit.
And 18 of them didn't work.
Well, I got a Honda Civic, but I'm not going to drive on the highway because I want to go mudding tonight. So I'm going to take my Honda Civic and I'm going to go mudding. What's going to happen?
You don't have a Civic. You
it's
have
not
a Chevy
work out
Cruise.
I've got a Chevy Cruze and I want to go mudding tonight. I take my Chevy Cruze mudding.
Well, you and
what's
Mike,
gonna
you
what?
And Mike
You're
Smith
gonna get
go
stuck,
do that.
Is what's going to happen.
Yeah. It ain't going to work.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw from Mike Smith. And something I alluded to a little bit earlier. Again, we've talked about it and written about it 100 times. The whole Gerald McCoy caper again. Spoke about some yesterday. Bruce Arians dispelled the notion that he told Gerald McCoy not to come. He said, no, he's welcome. You know, we'll welcome him with open arms if he showed up today. But you can tell because we've asked each player that we've spoken to the last 2 days during the press conferences about Gerald, maybe not OJ today, but, you know, we've mentioned it to Vea and everybody else, even Jameis yesterday. They all kind of have the same answer, you know what I mean? He's our teammate till he's not our teammate, and we support him, and he's working. So they've been kind of coached up a little bit there. I still don't know what's going to happen. We mentioned earlier what Mark Dominic said. I still don't see any way that Gerald McCoy is here next year. And, Scott, you were talking about this before today. Why would – I mean, you made a great point about Mark Dominic, why he would have that – would have that thought or want that thought. I mean, I don't even know if he really believes it. Maybe he hopes it.
Well, he drafted Gerald McCoy.
Right.
And the longer Gerald McCoy remains a Buccaneer, the better it looks for Mark Dominic.
Same thing with Myron Lewis. That panned out well.
Yeah, of course.
God, he held on to that guy for like 14 years.
That was bad, yeah. But the thing is if Gerald does return, if they decide not to cut him, if they can't trade him, can't part ways with him, whatever, if they're going to keep him for one more year, what they can do is then go to Mike Evans, and they can restructure his deal and turn a good chunk of his, you know, they could take $12 million and turn that into a signing bonus over the next
five more years.
And then only two of that would count against the cap this year. So if Mike is making $20 million and you take 12 and convert that into a signing bonus, then all of a sudden then he is, I think that's around $10 million that would be created in cap space.
I wouldn't like that, though. I mean, as a football player, and you know, people say, well, why don't the Bucs just restructure McCoy's deal? You know, because chances are when he gets cut, he's going to get re-signed. And I've been reading our message boards. You guys are really good. Some good discussion on that on our message boards about what kind of value he would have as a free agent. And I agree. I mean, I think he's a $6 to $7 million guy on the open market. And so people say, well, why don't he just take $6 or $7 million here? But think about it. At that point, he's a free agent. He can sign with a Super Bowl contending team. That's what Gerald McCoy wants more than anything, to finally make the playoffs, right?
Sure.
And then number two, though, if Scott came to me and said, hey, you know, we want to keep you, but we're going to have to cut your salary in half.
Mark,
but you have this.
Mark, we want to keep you.
Don't say it.
We've got to cut your salary in half.
Don't say it. Well, you know what? I need a job, right? Okay.
That's right.
The thing is, Gerald McCoy can say, screw you, because there's 31 other employers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go work for Joe Bucks fan, so I'm probably going to take the pay cut.
Right.
Now, you're going to get a half-ass Mark Cook.
And what are you getting at?
No, you get a two-thirds.
Okay.
But you would get a half-ass at that point. But my point is, do you want a half-ass Gerald McCoy? No. I mean, that's just a – from a psychological standpoint, You can't.
That's damaging.
I think about that with Bo Allen that took a $1 million pay cut. You know, he's like, well, damn.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but Bo got out of that what he wanted, which was to have the final year cut off of his deal. So that was a win-win.
And I guess
And I think that's
But $1 million. I mean, to us and probably 99% of people listening to this, I mean, that's.
But it's also guaranteed now. It's guaranteed. Okay. So there is that. So that Bo Allen's money is guaranteed.
Right.
So even if there is like an injury settlement or something, he's getting the full gambit. Right?
Sure.
And so I think Bo Allen is the only time that Jason and Mike Greenberg, the team's capologist, have gone to a player and done a pay cut situation because of what it can do in the locker room and for the player and all that. I mean, gosh, apparently Brent Grimes, unbeknownst to everybody, took a pay cut last year, right? That he only played for $8 million when he
what
was worth
guy.
13,
right?
And then you talk about half asset. Shit, he quarter assed it,
yeah,
the whole time.
Maybe not even that much.
Not even
now,
that.
Now, so how much is Bo Allen making this year?
I think it's $4 million.
Went from five to four. So I mean, but $1 million. I mean, that buys a lot of flare guns, Scott.
It does. It would buy a lot of flare guns, and I've yet to go by T.A. Mahoney's and check out the flare gun selection they have.
Oh, you're going to be impressed.
But I'm that is on my to-do list after the draft.
Right. Now, I want to let you know, you can't just be shooting them off in your neighborhood. They are used for to signal that you're in distress. So it's not just not like a cap gun when you were a kid.
No, the thing is like I understand it's for marine use only.
Yes.
I do have a pool in my backyard, though.
No.
Marine
use when
only
your float
asterisk,
is
I think there's like what's it's like marine use only recommended.
No, it's strictly for marine use. You can't be in your pool floating with your four beers and you get a hole in your float and decide, Ellie Logan, go get me my flare gun.
Well, no.
Because number one, it would shoot right through your screen enclosure.
The lanai would have a hole in it for sure. But the thing is what I would do is if I needed a beer, if I was out of beer on the float, I would shoot the flare gun. That's how I would envision using it.
That's not a bad idea, although it's highly illegal. But T.A. Mahoney's has been around since 1948. They have the best selection of flare guns you will ever find in the Tampa Bay area. Maybe the only place you can get them. I don't know. but that's not all. I was just checking out their website. Right now, they've got a huge selection of mirror lures. Right now, they've got a selection of soft plastic baits. Right now, buy one, get one free. A huge, huge selection of those. I'm going to be stopping by getting me some more bass baits if you're a freshwater guy. And they've got a ton of other sales and things going on right now, including their Costa merchandise and apparel at 40% off until it's gone. So go check out T.A. Mahoney's. You can find them online, tamahoneyco.com. Actually, it's just T.A. Mahoney. I can't even remember. I think it's just tamahoney.com. And also, just stop by. Visit the showroom. They have a huge showroom, big staff. They'll take care of you. Located at 50th Street and Adamo since 1948. It's T.A. Mahoney's. We love them.
All right, so the draft is Thursday night. We're taping this on Wednesday.
Hey, before we get done, or do we want to do it right now, we got to go around the room who the pick is going to be.
Sure.
All right, let's do that right now. Okay. Taylor, you're on the clock.
Who's it going to be? Devin White.
Matt.
I was also going to go with Devin White.
Scott.
I'm going to go with Devin White.
And I'm going to be the contrarian. And I've got a new favorite player in this draft, Ed Oliver.
Okay.
That's my guy. I think that's a surprise pick.
Okay.
I haven't heard a lot about him coming to Tampa Bay, but I just don't want to pick Devin White. I think it's going to be Devin White. But
okay.
But I like Ed Oliver there potentially, unless, of course, Quinnen Williams would somehow drop.
Yeah.
You know. Would you?
Oh, yeah.
Why? You're a reporter and a journalist, not a fan.
He's an incredible player.
Might want to have the mic in your hand when you're talking.
He gets so excited he didn't have a mic.
I'm not saying he's a fan, but like, oh my God, I'd get to sit there and watch this guy. I think Quinnen Williams is the most talented guy.
I almost want him to drop strictly to see you dance a jig through one bucket of plays.
I'll have to learn a jig tonight.
All right. We're going to see Matt call Orion or Orion, and then we're going to see you dance a jig. We're going to put all that on Twitter.
Or in jail?
Yes, one or the other. Yeah, very much so. So the draft is Thursday night. Now, Scott, we've got our video cast going on. We've talked about it a little bit. We definitely want people to tune into that. We're going to have wall-to-wall coverage every minute of the draft. Mm-hmm. We're going to have all of our coverage and our opinions and things like that. So, you know, yes, it's going to be on ABC and ESPN and NFL Network and probably on every other channel, Telemundo. But check out the Pewter Report version of it. We'll have a good time.
The great thing is you can watch it on your phone. So you can have us on, and then you can just mute the TV, and you can watch the draft on ESPN or NFL Network, whatever. But you can also have us handy on your laptop, tablet, phone. And if you are on your laptop or your PC, you can chat with us, and we'll answer your questions live as they roll in.
What's a PC? Politically correct?
It's a personal computer.
Oh. Yeah. People still have those.
They do. Yeah, I think that Vic Commodore is technically a PC, right? An Apple IIe.
I had a Commodore 64. Yeah. You know how we used to save files? No joke. This is the 80s, probably 1986.
Floppy disks, right?
Before that, literally on a cassette.
Right.
It was a
cassette,
yes, but on a cassette. Right. Then floppy. That's a true story. Then hard disks.
Yes.
And, look, my first computer I bought in 1998, and it cost me $1,142, and it had 2 gigs of memory. Two. And I financed it. And now this phone right here, I mean, is 10 times as...
He was holding up an iPhone for those listening.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Not an official sponsor of Apple, but if Apple would like to advertise, we would gladly take their business for
and
sure.
Free devices, of course.
And we'll just be the official... they can be the official computer
technology
phone...
Technology provider.
For PewterReport.com.
Yeah.
And anyway, all right, so let's keep talking about the draft a little bit. We got a few more minutes left in the podcast.
All right, so what'd you guys think of the mock? The mock came out, the final mock, this week. And
are you saying mock or smock?
Mock.
Smock. Mock. I don't like smocks.
It's a mock.
Mock.
M-O-C-K.
Smock. Mock. How do you spell that?
M-O-C-K.
S-M-O-C-K.
No.
All right, smock. And mock.
We had Jalen Ferguson as the second pick.
Boy, you got beat up a lot that one.
Yeah.
A lot.
Like, I'm giving the fans a pass rusher. They're like, no thanks.
Yeah,
don't want an edge rusher.
It's the one they don't want.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's unathletic. Okay, I get that. He also has 45 sacks. And who else was deemed unathletic? Terrell Suggs. He was supposed to be the first overall pick, and then I think he fell to like 10 or 11. And, you know, he's only had a Hall of Fame career in Baltimore. Now he's in Arizona with the Cardinals. But if Dexter Lawrence slips because he's more of just a nose tackle type, don't be surprised if the Buccaneers are interested in Dexter Lawrence. They had him in for a visit. Todd Bowles was at the Clemson Pro Day. He is a massive man that can move, and I would not be shocked at all if Vita Vea is the three-technique defensive tackle and Dexter Lawrence and Bo Allen are the nose tackles.
But what was the concerns with Dexter Lawrence? And there were some concerns, right?
It was like a PED thing that kept him out of the national championship game.
Yeah.
But I think that he kind of dispelled that and said, hey, that was a mistake, or it was a supplement thing, or it wasn't a malicious thing. Like,
weren't
I'm
they
doing
provided
steroids.
By Clemson?
Yeah.
Like the things that were, they were like something that popped up? Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if he
really
was...
dodged a bullet, because there was a few players that apparently they were supplying this with that, you know. I thought that was going to be a bigger news story than it was.
And they still whipped Alabama's ass. Yeah. That was the crazy thing, is like they really took it to him.
ACC, baby.
Yeah. So keep an eye on that. Also, too, and again, this just kind of popped up with the whole Justin Evans thing. You could see the Buccaneers take a safety in the second round. And we had Darnell Savage from Maryland in the second round in the previous mock draft, in mock draft number 4. And whether it's him or Nasir Adderley from Delaware, and keep in mind, Nasir Adderley's coach at Delaware last year was Nick Rapone, Buck safeties coach.
Matt, are you okay with how he spells his name?
Spell however you want. It's easier to pronounce.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so... I think he's an option. I think he's in play in the second round if he's there, as well as Darnell Savage. And then you got Juan Thornhill, Taylor
Scott,
Rapp.
People are losing their mind. Where's the offensive line help in that last mock?
Well, it's in the fifth round, I believe. Fifth or sixth round. It's Ole Udon from Elon College.
Another one that went from the East-West Shrine to the Senior Bowl.
Yep. And Titus Howard is another offensive lineman they like. I think he's probably a third-round pick.
His stock seems to be growing and growing every time I hear his name.
Yeah, he'll Alabama State
NFL
kid.
Network, all over the place.
I don't like small school offensive linemen other than Ali Marpet.
I think, didn't he have, like, freaky long arms? I think that was, like, a big thing at the combine, or the not the combine, the Senior Bowl. He jumped off, so he went out and got measured, and it was like...
Right. Well, they actually touched the ground when he's standing up.
Well, he also has got a great kick slide, too. I mean, he's got such a smooth back pedal and kick slide into his stance. And I thought he showed well against Montez Sweat after the first prep or two. That's a player that the Bucks like. Also, Dalton Risner from Kansas State. We talked about him last week. Mm-hmm. Those are some options in the second round.
No, Reisner's going in the first, man.
I think he's a first-round potential guy.
Him and Lindstrom, too. Two guys that we've talked about in the second round.
I saw you tweeting about him.
Two nights ago. But, yeah, Lindstrom is a guy that I just, you know, every time you turn around, he's inching up and creeping up a little bit more. And Scott and I were discussing this on Tuesday. He's the best pure guard in the draft.
There's always seemed to be a guard that goes in the 20s, right? Davin Joseph for the Buccaneers back in the day. Logan Mankins.
Zach Martin.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I've always been like, okay, your tackles are your most important and your center, and you can get by with guards. That was my thought before the last couple years.
Yeah.
Because they clearly have not been able to get away with, you know, just getting away with having a body in there.
That's a tremendous point that you just brought up. And it really goes to something Bruce Arians said today when I asked him about, you can call blitzes all you want, but if you don't get home with those blitzes, it doesn't matter. So what makes a really good blitzing team? And he says pressure up the middle.
The talent. You got to have the talent.
You have to have the talent. But then pressure up the middle. And that's either your nose tackle getting a push, your three technique getting penetration, or your inside linebacker blitzing. And so your point to the guards in this quick rhythmic passing game with all of the short passes that are the wide receiver screens, the slants. Then you've got people like Bruce Arians and Dirk Cutter like to drop back 5 and 7 steps and chuck it. Those are still around, but it's so much harder to get to quarterbacks these days.
Look at Drew Brees. And we saw the Buccaneers run a drill yesterday that I don't know why they were doing it. I was assuming, you know, but what they were doing is they were getting off their man. It was the Drew Brees drill, essentially, where they were like, okay, we're not worried about a sack, but we're going to get our hands up and we're going to knock the ball down.
Up the middle.
And up the middle, exactly. Yeah. And that's what you have to do for a guy like Drew Brees.
Yeah. And so when you have guys like Vita Vea that can push the pocket and get that penetration to get arms up, and all of that, you have to have stud guards in this day and age. And I think that's why you're seeing guards really bank in free agency. And you're seeing a guy like Chris Lindstrom, probably be a surefire first-round pick. But the thing is, though, is there's only 32 players that are taken in the first round.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you always have that guy. Dalvin Cook was a first-round talent that slid to the second round. So sometimes it's by character. Sometimes it's by injury. Sometimes it's just by the teams that are picking in the 20s don't need that particular position, and all of a sudden you got a player that really – look at O.J. Howard. I mean, how far did he fall? He is a legit top 10 talent, and he slid all the way to 19.
In a redraft, he's a top 10 pick.
That's the beauty of the draft. It's just
when
you think you have it figured out.
Yeah.
This player drops. This player moved up, and no one had him on their board. Yeah. So you never know where you're going to
get. It only takes one guy, like a John Gruden, to fall in love with a second or third rounder
and
take him in the first round.
Right. So. Or trade up and draft a kicker.
That's true. Oh, my God.
The Buccaneers are not immune from that either. One last thing on the draft from me. Do we believe Bruce yesterday when he was talking about, hey, there's six guys I love in this draft, and I don't think we need to trade down. It would have to take a king's ransom for Jason to really move down. Do we believe Bruce with that?
I think there's no doubt they've got five guys or six guys that they love at number five.
Yeah.
But again, Jason talked about it last week in his pre-draft press conference. There's a line that they have to draw, though. How far back? You know, is there a difference between – how much of a difference is your guy you have as a fifth-rated player and the guy that you have as, say, the 13th-rated player? Mm-hmm. What does Washington pick? 13, 14, 15, somewhere around there? 15. Okay. So, I mean – you know, Washington is a team that's going to want a quarterback. You know, I think they're a prime trade partner for the Buccaneers, or at least will make some phone calls potentially. And but look, if the Buccaneers, if there's a drop off from say 10 down to 15, I don't think they do it. You know what I mean?
That's 10 spots. The other thing is this: when you're talking about the Redskins, they'll swap first round picks. They'll probably cough up a 2, something like that, and then you're going to want, if you're the Buccaneers, a first-round pick next year. And the Redskins are stupid enough to probably do it, right, with Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen.
Man,
and all that.
I could see them trading with the Jets at 3, too, but that would also affect the Bucs in terms where they could get a Williams drop down.
But if you're Jason Light, and, you know, do you – is that is that first round pick in 2020, is that attractive to you if you're on your last year of your deal? If you're 66-year-old Bruce Arians and you're and you want to win now and you need an impact
five-year
player,
plan. Right. Saying a five-year plan with this group right
Bruce
now.
Bruce talks about reloading, but he's reloading now, not reloading in 2020.
Exactly. So I don't think – now, to the organization, there's a ton of value. And for the draft picks out there, yeah, you want that extra first-round pick in 2020. But to Jason Light and to 66-year-old Bruce Arians, I don't think that extra pick in 2020 mounts to much if it means trading down 10 spots past their line in the sand – and they're going to pass up an impact player, right?
That's exactly it. I think if you can, if guys like Josh Allen and Quinnen Williams and kind of Nick and Bosa are gone, you can maybe drop down. If you think you can drop down to maybe 7 or 9, and still get maybe if it's not Devin White, it's Devin Bush. If you have them close enough,
right? Or Ed Oliver, or Brian Burns,
Ed Oliver, a Brian Burns, a Montez Sweat, you're okay with. You might be okay with that.
I don't think those guys that you just mentioned, those three guys or so. In my opinion, it would take a king's ransom because Brian Burns is second place. You know what I mean? He's not the best pass rusher.
Right.
I agree.
Devin Bush is second place at linebacker.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know that this team's in a position to settle for second place
right now.
Again, though, I mean, you just never know what's going to happen. And, again, we all assume – or not assume, but we all, you know, have read the mocks, and things are starting to settle with that top five. But make no mistake, chances are something's going to happen. There's going to be some monkey wrench thrown in or whatever the stupid saying is. Something's going to change ahead of the Buccaneers probably that's going to, you know, that might not be foreseen
right
now.
The other thing, too, is having extra picks is one thing. Hitting on them is something else.
That's another thing. You can have all the second rounders you want. You can, you know, look, you get Washington's number one next year. Who says Washington somehow doesn't make the playoffs and you end up with a 23rd pick?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and the other thing, too, is we'll have to judge the 2018 draft class in a year or two, especially after this new coaching staff comes in, right? But right now, if you were just to look at the rookie seasons – and you saw what Jason Light did trading down for Vita Vea. He passed on Derwin James, right? He picked Vita Vea. And he still got his guy. But look at the second round. MJ Stewart, Ronald Jones, and Carlton Davis. So he had three second-round picks. And only one of those guys I'm excited about right now. Rojo's got to show me something.
Go back to the year before that when he takes Justin Evans. Now, I love Justin Evans, but – we don't know what he's going to end up being. The jury's still out on him. Who else did they take?
Yeah,
they had another second round.
And that's not even talking about the toe injury. Even if he had been healthy all last year and this year, you're still hoping he can get better and kind of come over that hill. He's not a finished product, even with a healthy second.
What round was Beckwith picked in?
Third,
he was. Yeah, he was a third.
Yeah.
They traded up to get him. They they used their fourth round pick to move up. So they essentially had two third round picks. They had Chris Godwin in 2017 and then Beckwith.
Godwin seems to be panning out pretty good. But again, look, I mean, he's been in the league for 2 years. I mean, you can't say anybody's doing anything in the first 2 years yet other than Derwin James. He'll be a perennial All-Pro and Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Give him the gold jacket now. Listen, I'm really, really excited to announce that our good friends at Ford's Garage, sorry, this is not a funny segue, but our good friends at Ford's Garage are back for another year of sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast.
Woo-hoo!
And we're proud to have them aboard. They're also going to be a sponsor for the What's Cooking segment. We're planning on bringing that back this year. We're going to do some different things, a couple watch parties with them this year, at least one right now we're working on. And some different events and things like that with Ford's Garage. We've got a lot of ideas and things we're going to do with them. And they're also going to bring aboard some of their other restaurants. They own, it's not just Ford's Garage. They also
Yeoman's Cask and Lion.
Yep, which is downtown Tampa, a British-themed type pub. Excellent food. Go check them out when you're downtown, I was going to say, for a Lightning playoff game, but that would be mean. Yeah, that's kind of inappropriate.
Too soon.
Well, you know, they also have a location in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, they do.
So if you're going to a concert at Janus Landing, you know, it's a hop,
or a Rays game.
Series game.
Although nobody goes to the Rays games, but no, it's not going to happen. But anyway, we hope that would be nice. But if you're going over to a Rowdies game, they're a sponsor of the Rowdies as well. But go check out Ford's Garage. Sorry, I hiccuped in the middle of that. Maybe Matt can cut that out. If not, sorry.
Nah, we're leaving it.
You know, Yeoman's Cask and Lion, a great pub, and a lot of exciting things planned with our good friends at Ford's Garage.
You know what that means? More beer, more burgers.
More beer, more burgers. And for you, the listeners, as we also have a number of gift certificates and gift cards that we are going to be doing some different prizes with this year as well. So keep an eye out on Twitter for that. And we'll be passing some of those along to a lot of our readers as well. So thank you again to Ford's Garage. Make sure to check them out wherever you can. Located throughout Central Florida. New location opened up in Kissimmee. And I'll try and get the scoop. I know they've got some plans for some new ones. I'll try and find out where that's going to be so we can start teasing that in the coming months as well.
Do we have any suggestions? Taylor, maybe?
Oh, Fowler Avenue.
Fowler Avenue. Okay.
Someone who lives USF location. I live right in a pocket in between the Citrus Park location, the Brandon location, and the Wesley Chapel location. I love Ford's Garage.
Where do you live, in Suitcase City?
No. I live right off the university.
That's
like 5 minutes off.
You on
no,
Fletcher
no,
or the Fowler side?
On the Fowler side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to live on the Fletcher side.
No, me neither. I think they just came out and they said like USF was up there as like one of the most unsafe campuses in the nation. I mean, I don't think the campus itself is unsafe, but if you head
like
westbound
one block
on Fletcher.
Campus.
Yeah, yeah, literally less than a mile Fletcher, away. Yeah.
Yeah, just don't walk over there. Come on, you're on campus for a
I don't have those problems in Tallahassee. That's all I got to say. Safest city in America.
That might be Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Nothing. Kansas is so boring. Even criminals are like, nah, I'm good. I'll go somewhere else.
Imagine telling someone you're going to Manhattan.
Oh, Scott used that line for years in the bars. Yeah, I went to school in Manhattan. They're like, oh, really? Where'd you go? Columbia? No, Kansas State.
That's right.
I had a 2-bedroom loft.
It's the Harvard
in Manhattan.
And Midwest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a
2-bedroom loft.
We had a 4-bedroom house in Manhattan when I was a kid. Well, I guess not in Manhattan. How far were you where you grew up to where you went to college?
It was a 2-hour drive
okay.
from Overland Park, Kansas, outside of Kansas City, to Manhattan.
How far from Dodge City, like where the Gunsmoke was filmed?
That's about 3.5 hours away.
Oh.
Yeah. I've been out to Dodge City once.
That's cool.
Didn't want to go back.
Is the band from Kansas? The band Kansas?
The band Kansas is from Kansas. Shocker. I know, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Here's another one.
Flo Rida is from Florida.
I'm
I don't know
sure
if
America
you know this
is from America as well. It was so much easier.
The band America is an American band.
Because now, if you named your band name America and you Google America, there's no shot you come up. So much easier to name bands back before the internet.
Well, we had a band from my high school. I was not in it. This was
no.
about 10 years.
No musical talent.
No, called Shooting Star. You've heard of the band Shooting Star? It's a classic rock band.
No. Uh-huh. I actually haven't. I'm not joking. I've never heard Shooting Star.
You've never heard Shooting Star.
No.
All right,
I heard the song Shooting Star by Bad Company, but I don't think
we're
going
to play
heard.
A Shooting Star song to start the podcast.
I don't think we'll find one.
I know exactly
on
where
the
they're
World
on,
Wide
on
Web.
iTunes.
Come on.
They are.
Is this another 80s band, Scott? A hair band?
No, this is you would like them. This is like a classic rock band. And they're more like, I guess, like kind of the Boston, Kansas, ELO.
It just didn't quite make it very big? Or
no, they had a couple of good tunes. I wasn't a huge fan. I just liked the fact they were from Shawnee Mission South High School.
Wow, from your high school?
Yes, from my
high
school.
Did they play your prom?
No.
No?
No, they were on tour, man.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Worldwide arena tour, I'm sure.
I'm pulling up right now on iTunes.
Yeah, and they're not coming up.
Shooting Star, right there. Alive in America, Volume 3, Last Chance. Yes, you've heard this song.
I've never heard it.
Yes, you have.
By the way, you guys can tune out. We're almost done with this podcast. Sounds like Heart.
It's not Heart. Matt, what's going on?
Out.
I'm with you, Matt.
You've heard this. That's about right.
I swear on every Bible, and I listen to a lot of music.
I can't believe you guys heard of it. I've heard Shooting Star.
No, I've never heard of Shawnee Mission High School either. So
Sony Michelle High School?
Yeah.
Shawnee Mission High School.
I don't even know.
I went to Shawnee Mission South. There's directional schools.
Well, at least you're in the
north,
right
east,
direction.
South, west.
Wait, there were
north,
four
west,
schools?
Five.
Five?
North, south, central. East, west, and northwest.
Oh.
So.
How'd you like to be the lame person that went to the northwest
I know.
Version?
They were lame.
Right.
Yeah, they were lame.
All right, well, since no one's listening now, we'll go ahead and end this podcast. If you're still listening, you're eligible to win a Ford's gift card. Just tweet you were still listening to the keyword shooting star. If you tweet out shooting star, that means we know you listened to the very end of it, and we will do a drawing for a $25 Ford's gift card.
Tag shooting star.
I have a feeling we're not going to get any tags. What's going to be exciting is the band shooting star is going to be really, really excited. They're like, holy crap, somebody's talking about us for the first time in 40 years.
That just doubled their listens this week.
All right. For
Taylor. Buy their album now, damn it.
I can't breathe. For Taylor Jenkins, Matt Matera, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, and we'll see you next week for another edition of the Shooting Star Podcast. Out.
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 Out.